Thanks for listening to the best of the Odd Couple podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern, 4 to 7 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Odd Couple at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
You're listening to the best of the Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker.
Zion Williamson, man, he was impressive last night in his first ever matchup with LeBron James. Everybody's watching him. Everybody wants to see what he can do. No doubt going against a player he's watched and admired his entire life, facing Anthony Davis, the man who had carried the franchise he now plays for 7 years. One of the top 5-6 players in the world. He's got to go against him. Oh, and you know who else? Dwight Howard. Dwight Howard is matched up with him at times. This is a guy that, when Zion was a little boy, was dominating the NBA. So Zion steps into that atmosphere, into that arena, and drops 29 points. Goes to the foul line 19 times, attacks Anthony Davis, attacks Markieff Morris, attacks Dwight Howard, and plays well. But, as I said, a baptism took place, and that was LeBron James showing the youngin', look, you might be next, but I am now. It might have been LeBron's best game of the season, in a season where he's played awfully well, second in the MVP race in most people's estimation. But he had 40 points, a season high, 8 boards, 6 dimes, and some tremendous dunks. And I've seen LeBron dunk for 17 years now, but he turned back the clock a bit. The dunk he had in transition, I don't even know who it was over, but he left and extended to over Josh Hart, his teammate, his former teammate, extended to complete the dunk that was nasty. Then the dunk in transition where he kind of rocked the cradle. I think he did a reverse. I mean, he did some nice dunks last night, and LeBron played well, led the Lakers to a 118-109 victory. And this is what LeBron does. Trae Young, you the new hotness. I'm gonna put it on you, and has a great game against them. Zion, you the new hotness. I'm going for 40. All these young studs, he puts it on them to let them know you got next, young fella, but I got now. Weren't you impressed, Rob Parker?
Not at all. What? Typical Chris Broussard.
Oh, stop it.
Prisoner of the moment.
I should have known you were going to find what? He missed a few free throws.
No, that's not it.
I'm just going to sit back and hear this nonsense.
As usual, LeBron shows up for the guys who are just fodder in the league, the young boys who don't really matter. Where were you, LeBron James, when it mattered this year in some of the bigger games against Kawhi? And against
Giannis. We're talking about Zion.
No, I'm talking about you want to make a stink about what LeBron did last night. Can I give you this? When they played the Clippers, all right, LeBron against Kawhi, 18 points, 7 for 19, also 23 points, 9 for 24 from the field. When they played the 76ers, that was his only good game. I'll give him credit. 29 points, 9 for 18. And then the other one against Giannis, 21 points. He was 8 for 19 in that game.
What else?
So all
what
of, el- No. Listen
Read
to me.
You the had other your, numbers.
You, let me, you had your chance. Last night, the Lakers played against the Washington Generals with the Washington Generals.
And you can't even get it out of your mouth.
And you want me to celebrate what he did. The only thing that was missing from last night's game was a couple of buckets of confetti after it was all over. Come on, man. Don't make a big deal about what he did last night. The two teams that are in his way.
Was he not good?
No, listen to me. The two teams that are in his way, if LeBron wants to win a championship in Los Angeles and have a chance for some people to believe that he has a chance of somehow getting closer to Jordan or whatever, is the Bucks and the Clippers. And he's 0-3 against those two. And that's the point. Where were you in those games? Where were you in the two Clippers games when they gave it up in the fourth quarter? Where were you then? You could go and puff your chest out and, oh, Zion, I'll show you and all this kind of stuff. Nobody cares about that. And Laker fans won't even remember this when the time comes because it'll all be about, where's LeBron? Kawhi's got him wrapped up. Where's LeBron in the playoffs when it's all? Matter of fact, the Clippers and Lakers might not even meet, but if they were, they would try to figure out, where's LeBron? So I'm not going to buy into last night as if something happened.
He didn't play well last night.
I didn't say that. But I'm not going to sit here and beat my stick. You sticking your chest out. You talking all big like LeBron showed you something last night.
No, he showed Zion something last night.
Zion's already so Zion said he doesn't get any respect. Was that to prove to Zion that he needs respect? Is that what that was?
Okay, first of all.
My goodness.
First of all, your little editing. Your editing might work with some people, but it doesn't work with me. Oh, against Milwaukee, Giannis, 21 points. Read the whole box score.
I got it.
12 rebounds.
They lost.
11 assists.
Chris Broussard, what have I told you?
That's the difference, Rob. That's the difference
between. Sports has a short menu.
Oh, yeah, now
wins
you say
and
it.
Losses. He's 0-3 against the teams in front of him that matter the most.
I'll give you that they
Clippers,
lost.
The Clippers beat LeBron James and Anthony Davis without Paul George.
I'll give you that they lost those games. I'll give that to you. But that doesn't – on a bad night. This is how good LeBron is. You're criticizing him because he went for 21, 12, and 11, a triple-double against Giannis, who's going to win his second straight MVP award.
Chris, you know the
You're
score
killing
that
him
game.
For that. And let me,
it was
let
a
me,
blowout.
Let me
it
finish.
Was a blowout
you
that game.
You had your turn.
Stop it.
You had, they lost by 7.
No, that game was a
turn.
Blowout, if you remember that, if you watched it. It was a blowout early.
The Clippers. On Christmas Day, again, I'll give it to you. The Lakers lost. LeBron wasn't at his best. He, in my book, he was too tentative, especially late. So I'll give you that. I want to see him, the same swag he had last night against Zion. I want to see that swag against the Clippers and the Bucks. But I'm convinced I will see it in the playoffs when it's time.
It's funny.
But here's the deal. Even on a bad night, a bad Christmas Day game when he's thinking about his children and the gifts and wanting to be there with them under the tree, opening presents. This is a family man we're talking about. This is not a single man who couldn't care less about Christmas. He's got kids. He's thinking about the gifts, and he still drops 23. 10 assists and 9 rebounds. That's my point, Rob Parker. Even on bad days, he's darn near a triple-double or a triple-double and a 20-point game.
Why wasn't LeBron about trying to make the right basketball play last night? Because he had a cupcake in front of him, so he just fills the stat sheet. Nobody in NBA history fills a better stat sheet than LeBron James.
Is that a bad thing?
Yeah.
That's why he's going to end up maybe as the all-time leading scorer and top 5 in assists.
He's going to have another, and he's already the finals failure of all time.
That's what Zion is.
No.
Zion had you in
that's
mind
what
when he
is.
Said he doesn't get respect.
He's got what? He's lost 6 NBA finals. He's lost as many as Michael Jordan won without a loss. And people try to go around and act like, well, it doesn't matter about the loss, about how many times you got there. The only reason they use that.
I'll give you that. You got to win. But getting there, hey,
it ain't about getting there.
Ain't easy.
Oh, and Marv Levy's the greatest coach in NFL history. He went 4 straight Super Bowls.
No, but
he wouldn't be in my Hall of Fame. He wouldn't be. He has a dubious distinction.
There's not a Rob Parker Hall of Fame.
Because it wouldn't be all these also-rans they put in. It would be about the best of the best. If I have to debate you about anybody, you're not a Hall of Fame.
Hold on. Your guy, you champion, Eli Manning, there's a debate. I'm with you, he's a Hall of Famer, but there's a debate.
There's no debate.
Rod Woodson came on the show and said he'll never set foot in Canton again.
And you believe that?
Eli
you believe that?
No.
Okay.
But he said it.
All I know is Eli beat the Tom Brady, your GOAT, and the Patriots twice, including the 18-0 Patriots. 18-0. They demolished everybody.
It took the most
Stop.
Dropping his hand down from heaven and sticking the football on David Tyree's helmet.
Why can't you
for him to get that? It did. And I know David Tyree. It was prophesied to him like the night before that was going to happen.
You just promoted his cousin to worship Wednesday.
I'm just saying. That was a miracle.
It was not a miracle.
It was.
Eli
made
the miracle.
Have you ever seen somebody catch a football on their helmet?
Eli was the one who made the miracle. Did you see the way he sidestepped the pressure? He got out of it and still got the ball off.
I'll give him that. It wasn't quite as elegant as you just said.
And did you see the one where
it was impressive?
The throw to Manningham down the sideline? There was about this much space for the football, and it got in. The DBs
are
were all
done?
Over. It was right
done?
There.
Nobody,
you see that?
Are
right
you
there?
Done?
Be sure to catch live editions of The Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker. Weekdays at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
We're going to get into some football because, as you may know, the Players Association is in negotiations with the owners about the new collective bargaining agreement. There's a proposal on the table that the owners have put forth that wants 17 games and, you know, some other things. And that's the main thing, though, the 17 games and an extra two playoff teams. It's interesting because the executive committee that negotiates with the owners is against the deal. They voted 7-4 against it. And then you have the player reps. They voted against it
17-14.
The executive committee's against it. The player reps have been for it. 17 for it, 14 against. And Richard Sherman didn't vote.
Right, he was abstained from voting.
And now they're going to throw it out to the majority of players, or all the players, that's 1,700 players or so, and it only takes a simple majority to pass it. So they're going to get it, I think. But we're saying, Rob, that this really is just one example of why the NFL Players Union is the worst of the three major sports.
No solidarity.
Baseball is the best.
Yep.
Basketball would follow that. And then football. And they've got the worst deal. I've talked with football players who look at the players, the contracts that NBA and MLB players get, and they salty.
They should be salty.
Because they're like, I'm a star, and you got this seventh man making more money than me or twice as much money than me in some cases.
Or they look and go, wait a minute. Mike Trout just got $425 million all guaranteed. All guaranteed. And people are jumping up and down when an NFL player gets $50 or $60 million guaranteed. They might get a big deal, Chris, but it ain't all guaranteed for the most part. And even the all guarantee that went to Vikings quarterback Kirk Cousins, what was it? 75 or 90? What was it? 90 guaranteed?
84, I believe.
But 84 compared to 425.
Oh, yeah. it
ain't even.
Close.
It's night and day. And yet the NFL has higher revenue. Baseball's revenue's high, but not as high as the NFL. And that is the thing that the players can't come together. You just said it. The executive board they voted it down.
Yep. Go with them.
These are the guys who are in there,
right,
who are looking at all this stuff. There's a reason that they don't believe in it.
Even a lot of the player reps don't know what they're
talking
about.
Do you know what
about.
I'm saying?
And you know, when you open it up to all the players.
Oh, it's a wrap.
It's a wrap because they don't know.
Chris,
they're
what?
Not paying. A lot of them, not all of them, but most of them, I would say,
Chris,
aren't really paying
here's
attention
the problem,
to the details.
And this is why you can't vote like this. It can't be, do you want to get paid or not? People are always going to ratify getting paid. That's what you got to get out of their heads about just taking a deal to get paid. Why in the world, we're talking about Patrick Mahomes, right? If he signs this new deal, $40 million, $40 million divided by 16 is what? Like, he's going for that 17th game. He's only going to get $250,000. How could you accept that?
Right.
How? Why is there a cap? There's not going to be a cap from the networks when they pay for the 17th game.
Oh, no. Well, they removed that. They removed that in the recent proposal.
What, the cap?
Yeah, there's no cap anymore. Now that 17th game
is prorated. I just saw it down there, so they took it. Oh, okay.
No, the 17th game. So if you make $1 million a game, you're going to get that $1 million for that 17th game.
But how was that even part of a negotiation?
Well, the owners threw it out there, but the players, I give them credit, they did shoot that down at least.
But look, J.J. Watt. Right? Richard Sherman, there's a lot. Russell Wilson, Aaron Rodgers, they're all no. They're all no. It won't matter, though. I'm telling you.
Nah,
it will.
Once you open I'm for the players standing up and making a stand and trying to get more than they currently have, I do understand why they're so disunified, because you're talking about 32 owners versus 1,700 or so players. You're talking about 32 owners, all of whom are filthy rich, wealthy. You're talking about 1,700 players, some of whom are making hundreds of millions or tens of millions or millions. Some of whom are going to be in the league for 2 years, 3 years. And they just want to get that $600,000 for that each of those 3 years, or that $1 million for each of those 3 years. And they know they're going to be out of the league. They're expendable. So it's hard to ask those players who are barely in the league and who could be gone in a heartbeat to make that type of sacrifice. I wish they would, but I do understand it. It's hard. When you got that many people, Rob, it's hard to get unity.
I'm sorry. I totally disagree.
Really? Is that easy? I disagree every single show. It's two of us.
I'm not talking about that. Yes, I get that. But when you have a common goal and you understand what it is you're fighting for, Chris, and that's what I'm talking about.
They don't have a common goal.
The common goal is that there are so many NFL players who, when it's all over, you're fighting for this money, but 78% of these guys are bankrupt after they get out of the game.
Well, a lot of that's on them.
Frank,
let's keep it real.
But if
you're only making $600,000 for 3 years,
no.
Don't try to hang with the guy that's making $20 million a year clothes and your cars and all that.
But there's a lot of other stuff. I'm just talking about the way that it's set up. That you got to understand that without sacrifice, you're not going to ever get anywhere. People have given up, Chris, time and time again in this world, sacrifice in order to change things.
Those are select individuals.
No, I understand that, but I saw a union do it, and I know they don't have 1,700, and I get
that's
the structure.
That makes a difference.
But don't tell me that you can't defeat these owners. I've seen people, unions, close down major corporations, stop air traffic in this country because they wanted more. And all I'm saying is you got to be willing to sacrifice if you want to change
it. How many air traffic controllers are making millions? What's the difference? What's the difference?
Chris,
hold on. What's the difference?
I'm not going to buy it.
Listen. What is the difference in the salaries between the highest ranking air traffic controllers and the lowest ranking? I'm with you. I agree with your premise. I'm just saying I understand why these guys aren't unified. You don't have air traffic controllers making tens of millions of dollars and in the rank and file making, $500,000 a year?
But my point is exactly opposite.
Years?
That the air traffic controllers and the union workers have more to lose. They're only making 30 or 40, and they're giving it up for the betterment of everybody to make their lives better. Those are the people who are just like, dude, I only make 40 million, but I'm out here with 40,000, and I'm out on the street with no job. These guys have big time money. If the union would do it right,
they don't have big time money.
No, but if the union would
That's
do it
the
right,
thing.
They would be able to make it work. You got to have a war chest. When baseball players walked out on the World Series, they were going to be locked out. You know what they said? You're not going to lock us out. We're going to strike. We're going to hurt you when it matters most in the postseason.
That was 20-something years ago.
No, but that,
I'm not sure. Would they do that now?
Who runs baseball now?
Would they do that now?
Yes, they would.
Maybe.
Strongest
union. I mean, that was 25 years ago.
But they did what they had.
They don't look that strong right now.
It was 100.
They're divided right now on the Astros.
It was 100 years of World Series, and they stopped it because they weren't going to let the owners get the upper hand. All I'm saying is there's got to be a sacrifice, and unless there's a sacrifice, they'll be in the same situation. And I've seen the NBA, the NFL players. They sold out the rookies. Remember when all the first overall picks used to get the big contracts? They sold those guys out thinking the money was going to trickle down to them. They didn't get that money. They still cut guys and veterans and don't give them. I mean, it's so bad. I don't know how they could look at this and not want to, like at some point, figure out that it will continue. The owners will always have the upper hand if they don't bend.
The owners always had upper hand because you're talking about wealthy owners who don't even make their money from football.
They got Chris.
Hold on, let me finish. I listen to you. Listen to me. Wealthy owners who are getting money from elsewhere, not that they even need it at this point. And then players who, some of whom are rich, and then some of whom aren't. And I agree with your premise, Rob. I would love to stick up the fist and say power to the people. And I wish they would do it. I wish they would have done it to stand up for Colin Kaepernick. But I'm just saying, I looking at reality, looking at some of these dudes, whether they came from poverty or not, but a lot of them did come from poverty. And they're saying, I'm a marginal player. I got maybe 3 years to get this six-figure or seven-figure salary. I'm getting it. Now, you want me to wait and sit out a year for somebody who I don't know down the road?
Yeah, we just saw.
I'm just saying, a lot of dudes ain't going to do that, no matter how much I might wish they would.
And that's why they're in the situation. We saw the Missouri.
And the situation ain't horrible. That's the thing, too.
It's bad.
It ain't that bad.
It is bad.
It's a league that makes
$11 billion, and they don't even take care of the health care. That should be automatic off the top of the money for these players.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
Zion mania is at full peak. You know, you got Colin Cowherd, who we both love, just singing his praises left and right. Yeah, everybody pretty much is singing his praises left and right.
Colin's looking for a new guy.
Yes,
he's got his new guy.
Yes, that's right.
Right?
And I love him. Don't get me wrong. I am a Zion fan. I am impressed wildly by what he's doing. But there are some that I think are going a tad bit too far. And recently, there was an article that in The Ringer, which is a good publication, good website. They do really good stuff. But there was an article recently where they said that Zion Williamson is the modern-day Shaquille O'Neal. And I'm going to ask Rob G to kind of give us some of the points that they made. I don't know if they threw out some numbers that you can give us. But Zion, he said, is the new Shaq, Shaquille O'Neal. Rob G, summarize it, and then Rob and I will respond.
Well, a big portion of it obviously focuses on their size and their agility because, you know, few people could
Shaq
move
was very athletic
like that. I mean, everyone remembers the bully in L.A., but Shaq in Orlando could move, and that's a lot of what Zion can do. It also mentions Zion's taking about 75% of his shots within 3 feet of the rim. And, you know, his foul rate, he's getting fouled almost half the time he has the ball. So it's right on par, not quite at Shaq's level, but very similar to what young Shaq
was
doing.
I was going to say, I can't believe it's at that level. Can't be. Not
Shaq. Well, Shaq was getting fouled at 55% of the time he was in the paint like that. So,
and what is Zion?
52.
Wow.
Well, it's close.
So it's close.
It's closer than I thought it would be.
And you know, just like Shaq, but more than 60% of his shots are at the rim. So, you know, it's very similar to that way. And last but not least, it mentions the free throw shooting. Now, even though Zion's shooting better than Shaq, he's only shooting 60%.
Right.
And Shaq was shooting 53.
Was he that bad of a free throw shooter in college, Chris?
He wasn't very strong, if I remember correctly.
I didn't realize it was so 60%.
No, he might have been around 70.
little higher,
which isn't bad. Right. I don't remember
70's
exactly,
good.
But no, 70's, you can live with 70 for sure. Okay, so the modern day Shaq. Look.
No! I was going to say that. I'm glad Chris, who is prisoner of the moment and always gets caught up.
You know, prophet of the moment.
I'm so happy that I'm going to sit back. I got to hear this because I love it. Me and you are in agreement on this, but I want to hear your take on why you say no.
Nope.
Well, first of all, I mean, Shaq was 7 feet tall. I know Zion is huge, but he's 6'6".
He ain't that big.
And as I look, and I get it, it's a different game. But you heard me talking with Eddie House. Now, Shaquille O'Neal's game would be dominant in any era. Had he played with Wilt Chamberlain, had he played with Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, had he played as he did with Hakeem Olajuwon, David Robinson, Tim Duncan, he would have been today. I mean, today would have been just flat out demolishing people. But his game would have been great in any era. Zion would be great. I'm not going to take it away from him and say he wouldn't have been great back in the day. I know he's only played 13 games, assuming he remains healthy and all that. I do think he could have been like a Larry Johnson, like a Charles Barkley. But I also think he would have really had to evolve as a player. Like, I said it. I'm not like the most intelligent basketball guy in the world, but I can see Zion goes left all the time. Why are these post defenders having you? What are you doing? I got to believe that your coaching staff is telling you and showing you he's going to spin left.
Like, watch the videotape. All you got to do is watch the tape.
And even on the right side of the bucket, he's using his left hand to finish. And I know he's explosive. I know he jumps out of the gym, and he is a quick jumper. So even if you know he's going left, it's still going to be difficult to stop. But my point is that these big men don't defend the post like dudes used to do. They don't. They don't see post play on a regular basis, and they aren't as good at it. And as he mentioned, Rudy Gobert. Think of the rim protectors nowadays. Rudy Gobert, JaVale McGee. They're thin. They're light in the britches. it ain't no Shaq, no Alonzo Mourning.
But Shaq is a once-in-a-lifetime or once-in-a-generational, like, even more than that, Chris, to have a guy that big in size. Zion, because he's big, they compared him more in college to Charles Barkley, not Shaq.
Right.
Am I right?
Right.
So where did it jump from Charles Barkley to Shaq now that he's in the NBA? Help me with that.
I guess they're trying to say, and there is, a little validity to this in that the way the game has changed, the lane is wide open. I mean, I like Zion in that he's a bit of a throwback because he doesn't dominate the ball. He doesn't, have to have all the plays run for him to get his numbers. And he likes the post play.
Right.
I like that. But it would have been a little different back in the day because the post was full of bodies, full of big, sturdy, strong bodies. You don't think Charles Oakley could have banged with Zion? Now, he couldn't leap with him.
But he could bang with him.
But he could bang with him. And so Zion, it's just, so I get it. In that regard, with the lane spread out, Zion able to go one-on-one with a big man, even if it's a Rudy Gobert, Rudy's a lot thinner, can't match Zion's power, not as quick or athletic as Eddie House was saying. But, and look, Shaq wasn't a tremendous rebounder for his size. Shaq never led the league in rebounding. Now, he should have. But he did average 14 rebounds a game as a rookie, which was actually his best of his career. He averaged 23.4 points, 13.9 rebounds. Yeah, he never led the league in offense in rebounding.
I never knew that.
And Zion, I love him, but he hasn't proven to, and I think he will be a guy that gives you, I think, 10 or 11 rebounds a game. He hasn't proven to be a great rebounder thus far. He's averaging 7 rebounds a game, but in the last or this month, when he's been playing now 30 minutes a night, his actual rebounding has gone down, like 6.5 boards a night. So he hasn't proven to be a dominant rebounder. Again, love Zion, love what he's doing, think he's going to be a perennial all-star, and so far he's actually helped them win more games. So I'm not in any way disparaging him. I'm just saying he's not Shaq. I would compare him, as you said, Rob, to Barkley or Larry Johnson before I compare him to Shaq.
I'm with you. I just think this is – and I get it. When a guy comes on the scene, Chris, putting up numbers, doing what he's done, you want to try to, like, what star from the past can we grasp? He's a bigger dude, but he's not Shaq. And I think that I think the Barkley comparison was better, but I get it. Because of the numbers, what he's able to do in the paint, the free throws, because he's getting fouled every time he touches it. So I get all that, but I think Shaq was a different player. I don't believe they're the same.
I mean, Shaq, look, you're talking about, what, a top 10 player of all time. You know,
he was in the top 50 when they did that thing in
like his fourth year in
right.
the league.
He was already
like that,
put
which
in.
Which was a bit premature.
It
but
was,
they,
but they knew.
You knew, yeah.
Am
he,
I right? That's yeah, a, you're right.
There's no doubt he was going to be.
Remember, he
there.
Wasn't even in that picture. He didn't show up, or I don't know.
What? He what? I thought he was in the picture because I was there in that All-Star
I was there
game.
Too. I think that they put him in, they airbrushed him in.
Really?
I'm almost positive. Rob,
because he would have been
that.
There for the game.
I don't. There was something about Shaq not being there for that picture.
Was the picture, in the, at halftime?
I don't remember.
But they probably, well, okay. But anyway, he was top 50, as you said.
Can you check that out,
in the league.
Rob G, for me?
But, yeah, Shaq, you're talking about a top 10, at worst, I mean, even those that might not be Shaq fans, top 12 player of all time. Arguably the most dominant center. I can make a serious argument that he's the best center we've ever seen. You make that argument. I go with Kareem, but my goodness, you
he
could
was,
definitely make an argument.
He was as dominant as it
No called. Question. And so while I love Zion, am I ready? And I look, he's going to be wildly
he's not,
popular.
He's not in that picture. I remember
he's,
that.
He's going to be wildly popular. He's going to be, like I said, I think a perennial all-star. But it remains to be seen if he's going to be a guy that's going to lead teams. Not just a team, but a team. Is he going to lead a team to a championship? I'm not ready to definitely say that. When Shaq came into the league, I was definitely ready to say, one day, this guy's going to lead teams to championships. Was there any doubt?
No doubt.
If he's healthy, he's definitely going to lead teams to championships.
And if
I can't say that about Zion.
And if
I can say he's going to average 25 and 9 or 10. I can't say he's going to lead teams to championships.
And I can't nick with Orlando, who missed the free throw.
Anderson, Nick Anderson.
If Nick Anderson makes those free throws, Chris, they might have
very well
they
might have won that.
They yep. might have won one in Orlando
no
with
question.
Penny. Remember
and,
that?
And I tell you what.
That's what that.
As big a Michael Jordan fans as both of us are, and we both agree he's the GOAT, had Orlando won that, let's just say they beat Houston that year. And then we know they came back and beat Jordan when Jordan came back from basketball.
Right, I remember
baseball.
That. He came back at the end of the season and then tried to, like, jump into the playoffs,
right.
And they got beat.
And they beat it. But Shaq, does he stay in Orlando? Is their confidence riding high? And then are they able to play with the Bulls?
Changes
Nick
history.
Nick Anderson's career doesn't plummet because Nick was never the same after missing those free
and
throws.
He was a really good
player
good for
player.
Them.
He
and
was a great, like, third
did,
or fourth
it
guy.
It did change his whole career.
No doubt.
And because he wasn't a bad free throw shooter, and basically choked at the free throw yep. line in a big game.
No doubt. And so I mean, because here's the thing. How many years ago, three, was everybody raving about Karl Anthony Towns? Like, oh, he's the, you know, the GMs would do their vote in the beginning of the year. I would take him before anybody else. Anthony Davis, I would take him before anybody else. Now we look at AD as a number two guy. Or a 1A at best.
Right. Not the guy that you would. Right.
Right. So you got to. Zion, as great as he's been, and he's been great, I cannot say from day one he's going to lead teams to championships. I could say that with Shaquille O'Neal. No matter what, that dude is going to lead teams to titles. And as great as Kobe was, don't get it twisted. Shaq led those. Kobe was great. I'm not taking anything away
Shaq
from him. But Shaq was the main guy on those three.
He was. And I know a lot of people always say, look at Kobe. Nobody's saying he was a bum or he wasn't good.
He wasn't riding Shaq's coattails. He delivered,
too. But Shaq was the most dominant player in the NBA at that time. He was unstoppable other than the free throws.